Whoop.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, okay. You what are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the AMP Radio Studios, Proteus, in Danville, California. Unfortunately, mine is Pam. Pam actually is recovering, so we hope she's doing well. Our thoughts and prayers are always with her. Thank God it's nothing serious, but Pam, being the warrior that she is, she'll be back on next week if she is that awesome. Guys, we're coming at you live and unedited from the week that was UFC Mexico, or the debacle that was UFC Mexico. Well, let's hit it, Proteus. The one and only, we go to the man up north. The man that always likes to wear a North Carolina blue, especially when Pam isn't on the phone. Hit it! Que pasa?
Yeah.
That didn't work. Never mind. Boy, that was horrible. Hit it.
There it is.
But you know what we will not start off without? Pam's not with us, but you know what? Because we love her so much today, we're going to play her music anyway. Pam, we love you.
Hi.
Shout out to Pam.
Hi, y'all.
There is a man waiting down south. There's a man waiting down south that might be disgusted with the New Mexico fans, just like Bisping or Brendan. Hit it!
Marco from Waco, ¿qué pasa?
¡Pasa!
You pinche puto cabrón. I just put a Jair Rodriguez, man.
You know what? I will say this before we get into it, and we're going to get into it right away. Listen, to our listeners, and we love you guys all, we're going to do it slightly different only because we have to get into this immediately. By the way, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts on purpose, and I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, MMA podcasts on purpose, because I like to have my own opinion. And I've said this all along. Proteus actually is doing it now, too. But the one thing that I did listen to, Marco, on YouTube, I listened to Luis J. Gomez, who's Puerto Rican, by the way, and doesn't speak a word of Spanish. He and Bisping were talking about what Yair Rodriguez said to Bisping. I don't know. One of their listeners apparently gave him some sort of translation. It wasn't even close. So basically what he says, Yair Rodriguez says, is, te parto la pinche something mierda puto, which equates to basically, if you touch me or something, if you come near me, I'm going to basically open you, I'm going to bloody up your mouth. Basically, that's what word for word that stands for. Somehow they got something else, but puto, of course, has many meanings. One of them, of course, being basically bitch or in some other places.
Okay. It's like,
go ahead, Marco.
The nitty gritty is, I'm going to bust you up if you touch me. You are the F word for gay. And, yeah, that's about it.
Not always, though, right? Because puto has
puto is F word for gay. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, guys, let's get into the MMA rewind right away. Marco, hit it.
Rewind.
Ooh, that was the best one yet. Proteus, we're going to get into this briefly, but as we get into this, the first thing I want to start off is, let's start off with something positive, not negative. Now, one thing I have been listening to a lot this week, purposely, are Spanish-speaking podcasts, which there aren't that many, and Portuguese-speaking podcasts, which there aren't that many unless you go to the MMA podcast in particular. But I wanted those different opinions, right? I wanted opinions from other countries. So we're going to start off with something different. I want you guys to name me two good things about UFC Mexico City, two good things that you saw. Let's start off with something positive instead of all the negatives that we're going to get into, because I got a lot of negatives to throw on this card. So Marco, let's go to you. Two positive things about this card.
Two positive things. The spinning backfield from Ocho, Stephen something.
Awesome.
That was awesome. And the Berju, what is his name? With the Berju, with that Rhea Naked choke, he got it.
Yeah.
Vinny
That's
Moreno,
cool.
I think.
Yeah, the guy that he was a legit black belt, and he choked him out. So those are the two positives I got. That was pretty cool.
Very good. Proteus, I'm going to throw to you two positive things about this card.
Well, I would normally start with a overly sexualized dance, but of course it was Pecho Correa that let that one fly, so we will not be starting there. Hashtag do not cue the music.
My balls was hot.
Paul Craig. I'm going with Paul Craig. Getting it done again, brother. First round submission. Paul
That's
Craig.
That's the name. Paul
quickly.
Craig. Paul Craig.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the name.
You're welcome. Sorry, I didn't want to talk over you. My apologies. And secondly, Angela Hill, going ahead and getting that one done. You know, I like to cheer for Angela
Another
Hill. Thanks. You know, she's – pardon?
Friend of the show.
Yeah, absolutely, friend of the show. And, you know, some people may not be a fan of her particular personality, but I'm definitely down with the king on that one. I like all of these scantily clad videos or photos that she puts out. But did I say that? No, I didn't. Go on. Move on. Nothing to see here.
She does bring energy, and she is very likable. So shout out to Angela Hill, but most importantly, shout out to Jessica Penny. Good Lord. All right, guys, two positive things. I'm going to do this on behalf of our girl, Pam, who couldn't be here. Mind you, this is not coming out of her mouth. It's coming out of mine. So she will kill me on this. She wanted to give a shout-out to Betch Kohea for the dance that nobody wanted to see. So shout-out to Betch on that one. And, of course, she wanted a shout-out to Sergio Pettis. Why the hell not? My two positive guys, seriously, Irene Aldana, shout-out to her, finally living up to her potential. And you know what? Shout-out to Carla Esparza for having class after being booed viciously by the UFC Mexico crowd. All right, let's get into it, guys. Right away, we're going to start off right with the top. Marco, we saw Yair Rodriguez disqualified, no contest, right, versus Jeremy Stephens. I'm going straight to you. What thoughts on this?
Okay, first of all, nobody was disqualified. It wasn't a contest. It never happened. There was no main event. It didn't exist. But, dude, well, it comes in threes, don't you know? We got the Vader, the Vader Congo. I poked 3 weeks ago. Last week we got Duffy versus freaking Jeff something. I poked, no contest too. And now this. It comes in threes, man. We should not have any other no contest I poked for a while. Maybe a kick in the groin now, but the I pokes are done for the year. what can I say, man? I mean, there was an I poke. We all saw it. We saw how Jeremy could not open his left eye. I don't think it was intentional, but Jair Rodriguez did not handle it well. He got his emotions take the pressure on him, and he hasn't been handling it well after the fact either. I mean, today in Instagram, he was fighting everybody and their mother on comments about, you know, saying that Steven freaking threw the fight. Jeremy Stephens didn't throw that fight, man. He didn't want a way out. I mean, we're talking about Jeremy fucking Stephens here, one of the toughest guys in the UFC. You saying a little eye poke is going to make him freaking try to freaking get away with the fight after 15 seconds, spending $30,000 of his own money, spending 6 weeks in Mexico City, man, and not even in Mexico City, higher than Mexico City, preparing for this fight. Rodriguez really threw egg on his face with all this whole thing. When it comes to the Mexico crowd, yeah, it was a little bit off-putting, but hey, here in the United States, we have people in Philadelphia throwing the freaking burning cars down and destroying the city apart after they win the freaking Super Bowl. So let's not try to freaking say, oh, this is a scandal. This is freaking off. These are like third world country people. Now it happens in every single fan base, man. And they went to see their homeboy fight and they didn't get to see it. A lot of alcohol was being served, as you well saw, because it started raining down on everybody. And it's a little bit of pudding, but it's not the end of the world. I see worse freaking situations in a stadium in the United States, if you ask me. And shout out to Brendan Fitzgerald for getting under the table and still being able to broadcast like a pro, man. That was funny as hell. But, I don't know what to tell you. Let's run this fight back. It got more freaking. Everybody's talking about it now, so it got momentum. So let's run it back. Let this guy settle it. Jeremy Stevens said, "Okay, let's do it in either in Boston or DC. He's ready to go." And I told him the ball is on Jair Rodriguez, man. Let's make this fight happen and put it behind us. It's gonna be good for both guys because now he got visibility. That's all I have to say about that right now.
Proteus, I'm going to go to you right away because I have some thoughts on this that are going to go everywhere, and I want you guys to respond on this, especially, you know, you and Marco, because I think the one thing that's great about our cast of characters, the Fighting Four, Fighting Three right now, but we are always with Pam. Thank God she's doing well, and we obviously want to make sure that she's injury-free, right? But I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. What say you about what occurred in the main event in Mexico City?
Yeah, all of the things that Marco said are 100% I agree. But again, I want to reiterate on this particular program, as I have said in the past, I'm surprised things like this don't happen more regularly, especially when you have a person like Yair Rodriguez who is definitely he's innovative. You know, he's trying to come at you from different angles, but he's also trying to measure your distance. And I, just like we've said with John Jones, DJ Tony in the past, the pawing at the faces or at the competitor, it's illegal now under the new rules. Under the new rules that the UFC should, I believe, Marco, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that the UFC was the governing body on this one. They were the hashtag.
No, they were not. No, they were not. There is an MMA
they were not the commission?
No, there is an MMA commission in Mexico. But
okay, thank you for the correction.
The MMA commission in Mexico did adopt the new rules of the unified rules.
Right.
The reverse of unified rules, so. The eye poking the eye is illegal. So yeah.
Correct. So anytime the hand is extended and the fingers are extended, that right there, GA Tony, is a violation of the rules. So moving forward from there, what do we do to stop these eye pokes? We've talked about it in the past. Do we change the gloves? Do we just penalize the fighter who had the infraction or who poked? And again, I just rewatched it before we went on the air, DJ Tony. There was definitely a rake of both eyes. We in the WWE, that was very, very effective. We would have really shown a lot of pain from the eyes. I look, Jeremy Stevens didn't do this on purpose. Unfortunately, Yair Rodriguez was very pumped up. He did need to be calmed down before he went on national television, worldwide television, right, guys? I mean, especially on ESPN in your country. It's big news. And, yeah, he was jacked up.
Fox,
he was ready to go.
Fox Deportes in Mexico?
Yeah, that's right. They're still on Fox in Mexico. And, again, guys,
in all of Latin America. It's a Fox Deportes, all of Latin America, the UFC is in Fox Deportes. Yeah.
I mean, this part of the world, we know, especially times to get fired up, DJ Tony, and when something doesn't go, if you're, okay, put it this way, and I'm not the first one to say this. If I was sitting in a stadium or an arena for 7 hours watching a sporting event, trying to get to the main event, and it ended that way, yeah, I can understand being upset, but I would never throw anything. I would never, I'm not even a guy who likes to boo, to be honest with you. So,
boo!
I can't, yeah, boo hawks. I'm not a boo hawks guy. I can understand the frustration, but again, we have a new virgin market or burgeoning market, or, you know, they're trying to take advantage of this market, DJ Tony. And I just don't think that, you know, all of the fans are as educated as we would want them to be. So unfortunately for Jeremy Stephens, whether he would have won by poking Yair Rodriguez in the eye, or, you know, being poked in the eye, and that's not my original thought either, he would have been pelted nonetheless. Thank you, DJ Tony.
Listening to the Spanish-speaking podcast, they were selling. So the arena opened up an hour late. They started selling the booze right away as soon as they opened up. And keep in mind, they kept selling alcohol as people were leaving. So as the people were leaving the arena, they could still go to the outlet or the commissary, whatever you want to call it, the stand where they sell the booze. They could go to the commissary and buy alcohol as they were leaving. I think that's a major problem. And I know why they were doing it. Obviously, they were doing it to make a few bucks. When you have an angry crowd that perhaps isn't as learned on the subject matter, or even worse, let's just say they don't know the sport very well, or maybe they do, but they're just frustrated. They're angry. Who knows what the temperature was in there. But, oh, by the way, you're adding a lot of alcohol to it. That's never going to be a good thing. So I think many people were to blame on this. I place most of the blame, not joking, on Yair Rodriguez because he showed his immaturity. There are a lot of things that could have been done. First off, the UFC could have given instructions for Joe Martinez to say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. Or they could have given it to Herb Dean or someone else to speak on behalf and let them know what's going on. Another thing that could have happened is Yair could have said, hey, listen, let's calm down a bit. Let's, you know, hey, sorry about this. Without jumping on the cage, he was not inciting the crowd, but he was fired up. And he was fired up because, first off, his immaturity and just, listen, it chalks up to immaturity all across the board. But I actually was really disgusted about what I saw. I was disgusted about what I saw afterwards as well, about some of the fighters calling out, you know, the Mexicans. They didn't say Mexican fans. Even if they would have said Mexican fans, I probably would have been ticked off about that. But how about saying the crowd that was there that was doing this? I don't know how much of the crowd was doing it, but it was a lot of it. I was just disgusted by it all across the board, guys. So I'll throw it back to you guys. Marco, you first.
Okay. I'm going to start on a serious note. Props to Herb Dean because he handled the situation as good as anybody could handle as a referee. It is not his place to explain anything because he doesn't work for the UFC. He worked for the commission. And he did anything on his part to try to save the fight. He took his time, tried to let Rodriguez recover because as soon as he calls the doctor and the doctor said he can continue, he got to stop the fight. He doesn't have a choice then. So he delayed, and gave Stevens every opportunity to recover. So props to Herdin to handle it like as good as anybody could ever handle that situation. It didn't work out for Steven, but props for him. When it comes to maybe somebody explaining to the crowd, maybe Joe Martinez, but is that really his role? I don't know, man. The bottom line is it was a debacle. But now, on the lighter side of things, I'm going to ask you guys, of all the beer that was freaking thrown out there, what was the beer they threw the most? Corona, Tecate, Modelo, or Dos Equis, man? Because I don't know. It's a lot of beer they throw. I wonder which one they threw the most, man.
That's hilarious. No idea.
I'm going to tell you
okay,
the answer.
But...
No, I'm going to tell you the answer because I talked to RJ Clifford. The local beer of preference in Mexico City is called Cerveza Sol. So the beer that they throw was called Sol.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
None of the above.
Well, but... it's a nice light beer, so that's good for Jeremy, at least, right?
Yeah, no shit.
So, DJ Tony, I thought it was very, very intriguing that we had a person interviewing the fighter that has one eye due to an eye poke. I thought it was, you know, par for the course here, man. We don't
ironic.
Know.
Ironic?
Yeah, a little, don't you think?
A little too ironic.
Anyways, I really do think. Okay. It's like rain on your wedding day. All right, Alanis Morissette, get out of my head. Jeez.
Michael Bisping and I wasn't based up for an eye poke. It was that Vito Belfort,
a kick.
Will kick. The will kick, yeah.
Right. My apologies. But still.
Yeah, I see
you
where
can see where
with.
I'm going.
I see where you're going with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Bisping's a pirate, and Yair Rodriguez just pokes somebody in the eye. No? Too far, too fast? Okay. My apologies. But again, you like you guys said, like you said, DJ Tony, yeah, Yair Rodriguez could have handled this better. I think a lot of the pressure was on him because, again, as we said last week when we did our hashtag, when we did our picks. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart.
Who won the stupid week, by the way?
Hashtag smack my picks up. Again, you don't want to know, Marco, you did extremely bad.
I know.
It could have been handled better, but again, we had another champion jump out of the cage after he won a fight and tried to jump kick another person in the face in Las Vegas. So, I mean, like Marco said, it's a sliding scale, DJ Tony.
You're right, and we're all prisoners of the moment, right? We're all prisoners of the moment. We all go into what we just saw and really expound on that, but My personal opinion, I was really disappointed in Yair. I was disappointed in the fans that threw stuff. I was disappointed at the way the entire thing was handled. But the onus on me, sorry, goes to Yair Rodriguez. Very immature, especially because he was a star on this. I'm not blaming Jeremy Stephens for any of it except for the fact that clearly he didn't give up, right? Clearly it wasn't one of those things where if you can't see, you can't see. It wasn't one of those things where he's faking it, but I just think everything could have been handled completely different. But in my opinion, the onus falls on Yair. Listen, let's move on quickly on this because I want to get to the new card.
Sure.
But I do want to go to this, guys. Instead of doing what we normally do in terms of the rewind and going line for line, I want you, Marco, up-down report. Let's get into it right away. Who goes up? Who goes down?
Who goes up? Carla Esparza goes up. She won a top fight. Some will argue that was a draw because the third round she got her ass handed to her. But she won the scorecard, fair and square. But for Carla Esparza, I didn't think she was going to be able to pull it off. And what is her name? Alexa Grasso almost proved me right. But, you know, pro for her, who goes up? Definitely Yair Rodriguez. The way he handled the whole situation, he's not making any fans right now, especially in the United States. Like you say, a little bit immature, and he's not helping his case with the Twitter war or Instagram war he got with fans that are trying to defend his point. So, a stock down for Jay.
Proteus, who goes up, who goes down?
Yep. Okay, so I have two again. For the up report again, Paul Craig, I'm going to take him because I took him the last time you asked me about the up report. I'm also going to take Sergio Pettis on this one, man, because I expected him to not get this one done at all. I took Tyson Nam in this particular fight, and you know, Sergio coming in late notice, and he goes all the way to decision. So good on him. Again, notable mention to Carla Esparza as well, Marco, like you said. But I think what I have to do is take the inappropriate dancer, and I have to take Eubanks as my down report because, as I said last week, I thought that Betch Gohea was kind of the bar for Eubanks. You know, I don't expect Eubanks to be hanging around the UFC for very long, DJ Tony. So that's my up and down report. Thank you.
Proteus, you almost took mine completely.
I apologize.
My down report was certainly going to be Sajara Eubanks. So close to the title. Now she's 4-4. Hasn't looked good at all, even moving up in weight. So major disappointment in terms of that. But honestly, my down report goes to Yair Rodriguez, guys. There's no doubt about it. The immaturity, the way he behaved, and I'm a huge Yair Rodriguez fan. I'm just appalled by his behavior. It's just, I get all the stress that was on the young man, and I'm certainly not 25 or 26 years old with the spotlight, parents, grandmother passing. I get it, but you got to handle things a lot better, and it was handled very poorly. My up report, guys, believe it or not, goes to Carla Esparza, and I'll tell you why. Not because of the way she fought, because I didn't think she looked good at all. I actually thought she lost that fight. I thought she lost round one, which could be disputed, right? But I thought she clearly lost round one, won round two, lost round three, was almost finished thrice, for lack of better terminology. So my, but the way she handled everything in terms of just the crowd booing her, her basically knowing that she really needed a win and really needed to beat Alexa Grasso, coming back from after getting rocked, being able to say honestly that she was rocked, and then, of course, thanking the fans, even though they're booing her, really not booing her. I think they were booing the judges, but the way she handled it, props to Carla Esparza on that one. Guys,
big props.
Go ahead.
Big props on not tapping to that Amber, because she confessed on the Hill 1-8 show that she was like a second away from tapping out. So that Amber Jack, Kiva Kampu, oh my God, it was, oh, ouch. Just thinking about it hurts. Yeah, but she didn't
tap. Tony, I know you
want
to move on. I know you want to move on, Tony, real quickly, though, but I just wanted to say, if we, Marco and Tony, if we were using 10-8s and 10-7s a little bit more frequently, do you think this decision would have been different?
Yeah, I think the first choice I gave a 28-28 got it right. I think Carla won the first and second round, and the third round was all Alexa Grasso, and it was a 10-8 round. That should have been a draw. The other fight, the fight that was actually a score, a draw, a split draw at that, I saw that they got it right too. But, well, they were judges that were not afraid to give the 10-8, but they were far in between. So there you go.
Tony?
You know what, guys? I'll say this. There's no doubt about it. We should be using the scoring system. Well, it's got to go to the judges, right? But I think if anything, I think a draw would have been a lot better. But the entire night with the just the Mexican fighters having a tough night on that, I think the judges should have been a little smarter, or maybe the UFC would have been a little smarter in just explaining things. The one that got me, Marco, was the draw, the split draw with Brandon Moreno. Right call, but if you're going to do that, then you have to, Marco, call the Esparza Grasso a draw too, in my opinion.
No, what got me on the Moreno score is that one judge got a 30-27. There was no one fighter that got three rounds. No one of them got three rounds in a row, man. So, well, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, that was insane. Proteus, let's move on, and we got to move on. I'll put all this, I'll put all the music on later because we're going to do some editing on this. But and that's the great thing about us, guys. We always give you free, unedited combat knowledge. All right, let's move on, guys.
I don't give a free unedited combat knowledge.
You know what? We don't charge anyway, and we're certainly not putting it behind the paywall. We have a new sponsor. Didn't get to write out the ad copy on that. I'll do that, and we'll do it on next week. So, Proteus, get ready on that one. Guys, let's move on because we're going to move on to Copenhagen, the land of the beautiful women and apparently great drugs from that side. We go to the middleweight. We go. The Joker, how fitting, Marco, was close to October. The Joker movie is going to come out, and the Joker, Jack Hermanson, he will fight Jeremy Cannonier. Marco, I go to you. Will it be the Joker, or will it be, I don't even know what Jeremy Cannonier's nickname is. Let's call him the Cannon.
The Killer Gorilla.
Yeah. So, look. You know I'm on the Jack Hermanson bandwagon, and I'm not going to get off anytime soon. He has looked good, especially on that Jacare fight. He really, really impressed me. I don't think Cannonier is of the quality or the pedigree of Jacare. And if Hermanson can beat Jacare, he can beat Cannonier. I'm gonna take Cannonier on a second-round submission because I think he's able to take it to the ground. Let him punk on here and get the finish in the second round. So give him Kromanski a second round submission.
So that's pretty interesting because Marco Proteus sticking with the favorite. Hermanson, of course, a minus 240 favorite. The comeback on that is Jared Cannonier, the killer gorilla, at a plus 200. It should be the killer at cutting weight because he can fight at any weight class. Proteus, we go over to you. Will it be Jack, the Joker Hermanson, or will it be Jared, the killer gorilla, Cannonier?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Marco is definitely on that Hermanson train, and that's fine. No worries about that. But I think we're maybe selling Cannonier a little bit short. You know, he's – everything is fairly identical except for the leg range and the height. Hermanson, of course, being the taller fighter, just barely at 6'1", and Cannonier coming back at us at 5'11". Doing Pammy's job here right now. Everything else is virtually identical, like I said, except for the leg reach. And I think that if Cannonier is able to close the distance on Hermanson, this is going to be a very interesting fight. Marco says, you know, he thinks Hermanson is the more well-rounded fighter. I think that's probably true. And of course, the UFC would love for Hermanson to get this one done, man, and really, you know, peak that market, that European market, whether it be Northern or whatever you want to call Denmark, it's still Europe, right? So I think that you need a star in that area of the world. Gustafsson's not doing it for you right now, and Jack Hermanson could be that guy. And I think if he gets past the killer gorilla, he's going to be the star of the show. I do think that Cannonier is going to look to work that wrestling game, Marco, and take Hermanson out of his comfort zone. But as we've seen, Hermanson, not really that much of a joke off his back either, can work from there. So it's going to be very interesting. But I, having said all that, I'm going to go with Hermanson as well, Marco. I think he's going to be able to get this one done. But I'm unlike you. I'm going to take your usual prediction and say this one's going to go down by decision. Thank you very much, DJ Tony.
Give it to Frenchman. Give
I'm
it
going
to
Frenchman. To split.
Sorry. Oh, not bad. All right. Like you guys, I'm going to make this short and quick as well. Shout out to Pammy, who we love. You know what? I'm taking Jack Hermanson. I think he's closer to home. I think that Jack Hermanson has a lot more going for him. I still think the weight cut for Jared, the killer gorilla Cannonier, can be an issue because let's keep in mind, he fought at heavyweight and now he's fighting at 185 middleweight. That's insane. So I'm taking Jack Hermanson, second round submission over the great Jared Cannonier.
Wow. Okay.
Guys,
now for the
that's exciting, guys.
For the tiebreaker, because you say second round submission.
Exactly.
And I say second round submission. What kind of submission?
Ooh. Ooh, very good. All right. So I'm going to be very specific on this. I'm going with, let's see, he's had two straight guillotines, then he had an arm triangle. I'm going with Jack Hermanson, something he hasn't done since 2014, 5 years ago, rear naked choke, Jack Hermanson over Cannonier.
I am going to change my method of victory just to go opposite of you. And instead of a submission, I'm going to say TKO on the second round via ground and pound.
Wow.
Via ground and pound.
Not bad.
Yeah. I got it.
Guys, let's move up to this, by the way. And shout out to Jack Hermanson, whose first name, by the way, is Bernhardt and not Jack. So shout out to Bernhardt Hermanson. guys, let's move. Let's do a quick spotlight fight of the night. So I'm going to go with my spotlight fight of the night, and we will not cue the music, although maybe we should. I'm going to go to the prelims, early prelims on ESPN Plus. The entire card's on ESPN Plus as Macy Chiasson. I'm pretty sure I'm butchering her last name. And she will fight. What is it, Proteus?
I don't know. I just made it up. Chasen.
Chasen. God bless you. She will fight Lena Landsberg So the queen of the elbows, I'm taking Macy on this one. We're on a first-name basis. Shout out to Macy.
Oh, yeah.
Proteus, I go to you. Spotlight fight of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, hang on one second. You taking Macy by what? Sorry?
You know what? I think she's going to submit Lena, and I'm sticking with the second round early in the second.
In the second.
Submitting her via, right. You know what? Let's take on with the naked side. Rear naked choke. Lena Landsberg loses.
All right. So Mark DeCasey versus Lando Venata. I apologize, Marco, if this is your spotlight fight of the night, but this is one that's sticking out to me because, you know, we had very high hopes for both these guys. And I think that this one is definitely got fireworks written all over it, or I won't say it the other way around. I'm going to take Venata. I'm going to take him by second round KO, straight up KO. No, sorry. I'm going to take that first round KO. I think these guys are going to be out there fucking throwing shit, man. And if somebody's going to get caught, and I think it's Mark Casey because he gets a little loosey-goosey sometimes. Marco.
I want to make it easy. Crap, man. Hang on. Before we go into this, Proteus, by the way, taking the underdog at Lando Venata plus 135.
Yeah.
Mark Casey, the comeback at minus 155. I took the favorite. Macy at a minus, get this, perfect for Copenhagen, minus 420, and she, of course, defeating Lena Landsberg at a plus 335. Marco, we go to you. Your spotlight fight of the night for this card, UFC on ESPN.
Oh, man, I can't believe me, neither one of you pick a gun and Nelson versus Gilbert Burns. Dude.
Yeah, I knew it. Good.
Yeah, I'm picking Gunnar Nelson. He's a better fighter, the more complete guy. He can be a little bit too patient sometimes on his stand-up. He likes to look for the perfect shot. But when he gets to the ground, there's very few people that can beat him. Like Demi Maia, I think, is the only one. But, yeah, give me Gunnar Nelson. I think he's going to be able to score enough points on the feet and then finally take it to the ground and get Gilbert Burns in the second round by rear naked choke. So Gunnar Nelson by submission.
Darn, very specific. And in the spirit of Pam, I'm throwing this out there, and she can correct me if I'm wrong. OSP, a plus 205 underdog, he will fight Mikhail Olejniczuk. Olejniczuk, you know what? The
Olejniczuk.
VKs. What is it?
Olejniczuk.
Nunchucks.
You know what?
Yeah,
the VK.
Yeah, that dude.
Pam will take the ZK via KO in the third, MO over OSP.
You are wrong. You know she's done with OSP. Yes, you know me. You know you're wrong.
You know what? Marco, you're right. We're changing it. Pammy going with OSP, yeah, you know me, via what's his move?
The
Von Fluke.
Some proof. Not the Von Fluke, the Sam Prook move.
The same proof. That's right. Guys, we're going to keep moving along, but guess what? We're going to do one more because we're doing actually okay on time. We're going to hit it. I'm going to throw this for a loop because you know we did not discuss it. But you know me, I like to swing for the fences, guys. We're going to Bellator 225.
Oh, Jesus.
However,
Christ.
We're going to focus not on Gallagher versus Salazar. We're going to focus on two fighters that you guys know very well. Miles Jury making his Bellator debut. He will fight Benson Henderson. Miles Jury a plus 240 underdog. Bendo coming back and a minus 280. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Bendo or will it be Miles Jury? Making this easy for you guys. Two fighters you know.
Okay, so I was surprised when Miles Jury went to Bellator, but it is what it is. It's not so fast for Jury coming into Bellator, but, I mean, Benson Henderson is way past his prime, dude. He's still a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but he's not the great he used to be, man. And I think Miles Jury, with his range and his height and his scrappiness and the fact that he's just so lanky, he's going to be able to handle Bendo. He's not going to submit Bendo. He's going to knock out Bendo. But you know that Bendo likes to counterpunch too much. He doesn't like to go first. Amal Jury is more than happy to oblige to be first on the stanky count. So I'm going to take Amal Jury by the points. You know, he's going to win. This is Bellator, so it's only a three-rounder. 30-27 decision. 29-28 unanimous decision, Miles Jury.
You know what? This is very, very interesting, Proteus, as I go to you on this one. Miles Jury, a fighter that we all liked. He's 2-4 in his last UFC 6 fights, so certainly not when he was 15. I mean, at one point he was 15-0. He's now 17-4, so still a very good record, but definitely not the kind of career we thought he would have in the UFC, at least that I thought. Proteus, I go to you. Will it be Bendo or will it be Miles Jury?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Bellator this weekend. Of course, it's a very, very big weekend for Bellator. They are doing what, 2 cards over there in Ireland?
I thought it was like 55 cards. I don't know. I lost count. they got a double header on Friday, and then they got one card on Saturday.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Marco took the words right out of my mouth. And we want to say thank you very much to Bellator for giving us credentials. Of course, the last time out in sunny California. So, yes, I'm glad, Tony, that we have time to talk about this. Of course, the tournament continues. We have a spectacular fight. Anyways, we're not talking about that one right now. Benson Henderson versus Miles Jury. I'm taking Benson Henderson. I'm going to take him by second round submission. I think we know who Jury is at this particular point in time, guys. Benson Henderson's too smart for Miles Jury, I think, at this particular point, second round submission.
I'm going exactly what Proteus said for those same reasons.
Rear naked choke.
Bendo, by the way, very quietly has won 3 straight. So
yeah,
you know what?
He's,
actually,
exactly. He's on a good streak,
Bendo,
man, and Bellator.
I'm going to take Bendo by decision, Proteus. I'm actually going the other way, only via decision. Same reasons that you were saying. I just don't know if he can finish Miles Jury. Guys, I'm going to throw one last one in there, guys, because we're going wild and crazy, just like the UFC Mexico City fans, because we have also been given Negro Modelo, I guess, or Soul, or whatever the heck that beer is. We're going to stick to the very next day, September 28th, very next day after September 27th. This time we're going to Temecula in Southern California, Bellator 228. Why Bellator does this is beyond me. But we're going to the middleweight. We go again. 2 fighters that you guys are very, very familiar with. Lyoto Machida, he will fight Degard Mousasi. I love both of these guys. I'm going to go first on this one, guys. You know how big of a fan I am of Lyoto Machida. It goes without saying. But I'm going with Degard Mousasi. And I think Degard Mousasi is going to finish Lyoto Machida in the 3rd round. TKO, Degard Mousasi over one of my favorites of all time, Lyoto Machida. Proteus, we will go to Marco now. Marco, I go to you. Will it be Lyoto Machida or will it be Degard Mousasi?
Well, Degard is on the last fight of his contract with the Bellator, so I think he wants a win to either have leverage to react with Bellator or even go back to the UFC and negotiate a better contract. So there's a lot of pride on this fight for Degard Mousasi. Lyoto is one of the all-time greats, but he's getting old, dude. He's not as quick as he used to be. And, you know, he's catching up with the guy. He's been very, like, on and off lately. And Degard Mousasi, for better or for worse, man, I mean, he lost his last 5 fair and square. But the guys have been on a run that is freaking unreal. And I think he's one of the better middleweights on the planet. So I'm not gonna sell Mousasi short. He's still younger, way younger than Machida. He's still closer to his physical prime than Machida is. So I'm taking Mousasi. Now, historically speaking, Machida has been hard to finish, you know. I mean, very few has been able to finish Machida, if at all, you know, like enter John Jones, and I think, who else? Basically, that's it. Somebody else did finish Machida, but I don't remember. Who knocked him out? Oh, well, I don't remember right now. I'll remember eventually. But Machida's hard to finish. So Musasi's going to be able to figure Machida out and outpoint him. It's going to be like a 49-46 score. Unanimous decision. Oh, three rounder. I forgot. This is Bellator. 29-28 decision for Musasi.
Wow. So I got to go with this, Proteus, before I go to you on this. Gegard Mousasi, by the way, I did not know that he was on the last fight of his deal, so good knowledge there, Marco. A -300 favorite over one of my favorite fighters of all time. Heck, almost all karate fighters are one of my favorites of all time. Lyoto Machida at a +250 underdog. Proteus, I go to you. Will it be the favorite, Gegard Mousasi, or will it be the underdog in Lyoto Machida?
Yeah, I know, DJ Tony, you were definitely down with the Karate Kid, that being your first karate expert that you loved. Nothing? Okay.
Yes.
Let's recap quickly, DJ Tony, because I did not write down your pick. I have Mousasi. This method in round, please.
I have him finishing Lyoto early in the third.
Yeah.
Via submission.
TKO. Oh, it's
no, sorry, okay. TKO. I said TKO, sorry.
Okay, TKO in the third. I'm going to take go against you guys. I'm going to take Machida here. I want to give a shout-out to the Featherweight Grand Prix that is the first round is going to conclude on this particular fight card. Of course, the Pitbull brother defending his title, but I'm going to take Machida. I'm going to take him by front kick. Very early, you know, shades of Randy Couture. I think that just Gegard is going to be in that same position. Yes, Marco, you're right. He's a younger fighter. He's definitely more well-rounded. But I think if Machida is able to get down to business, brass tacks, as we say, and get this done early, first round, KO, front kick.
You're crazy.
Guys, as we get out of here,
I am.
Before we go to, of course, your Twitter follow of the week or Instagram of the week or, of course, Guilty Pleasure, I want to ask you guys this. We're going to play the Joe Silva show today. Joe Silva, you are putting on your magical hat, your UFC magic hat here. You are the matchmaker. The two fights that you would make immediately as a matchmaker. Proteus, I go to you. Joe Silva is now Proteus. First two fights that you will make as a matchmaker. Coming back, of course,
well,
to the UFC.
The first fight, obviously, that we have to make, of course, is the Rodriguez-Stevens fight. That needs to get done as soon as possible. Unfortunately, we did not get to cash in on the cash cow that might have been the Rodriguez win in Mexico. But it needs to get done. It needs to get done very fast. Stevens coming out, I believe, today, Marco, on the Twitterverse, saying that his eye is not damaged as bad as it could have been. And then he will be able to get a quick turnaround, which is great, not only for the UFC, but for Stevens and Rodriguez. Because if they can put this fight on, I don't know, the New York card or maybe on a New Year's Eve card, these guys will get paid. The next fight that I need to see moving forward, other than that, DJ Tony, God. I'm not sure I have an answer for you. I like to see Paul Kelly get a really good shot at someone that is ranked highly, and I'd like to see where he goes from there. So those are my two, Rodriguez Stevens and another fight for Paul Kelly, definitely near the top of the division.
Proteus, by the way, you have now been fired from the Joe Silva matchmaking side, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the fight that needs to be made is Tony Ferguson fighting for the belt against Khabib. That fight needs to be made. The other fight that needs to be made, in my opinion, of course, is Valentina Shevchenko taking on the one and only Amanda Nunes. Let's settle that one.
For the third
Marco,
time,
I go to you. Yeah, it has to be done.
I'll tell you the three fights that needs to happen, because I don't do two, I do three. Benavidez versus Seguro for the flyweight title. Kobe Covington versus Kamaru Usman for the welterweight title. Let's stop fucking around with that, and let's make that fight happen. And finally, let's end the trilogy with Cormier and freaking Stipe. Let's sign that up and let it happen. That's what three fights that need to happen right now.
Marco, you're hired. All right, guys, let's get out of here. As we get out of here, let's go to you, Proteus. Well, actually, let me go into my Twitter for the week. It will be of no surprise. Maybe it will be of surprise. You know what? It just surprised me, Proteus. I'm going with Irene Aldana. Irene Aldana _ at Twitter. You know what? She is a remarkable athlete. Hopefully she'll get a good fight going forward. But, man, if she can put it together, it would be interesting what she can do if she can finally put it together again, going into the fourth late. What have I been watching lately, Proteus? I got to be honest with you. Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, as the great Nick Diaz said, Proteus, Joe Rogan podcast all day. Or whatever he says, at night, all day, or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean. I ruined that one.
Yeah.
Proteus, I go to you.
You did. Yeah, I apologize for my Joe Silva picks, but I just expected you were asking coming out of this card. That's how quickly my brain works, trying to put fights together. DJ Tony, thank you very much. So my guilty pleasure of this week is got to be going to YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the page called Astrum. This is a very interesting page that I have found recently. I've been hooked. It's all basically about the universe basically our galaxy and about the probes and the starships that we sent up to photograph planets or study planets or, just the things that are happening in our particular galaxy. It's very, very interesting. Check it out, Astrum. Thank you, DJ Tony.
Spell it, Proteus?
Yes, the spelling is Astrum. Go check it out. Thank you very much.
Astrum, all right. Marco, we go to you. Close the show.
So shout out to Whistleblowers, because they can give me the most entertaining news I have seen in over a decade. I am glued to the TV with this whistleblower blowout, man. It's so freaking, America, I love it. Love my country. But I really been watching anything about the news lately, so tell you what my life is. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow producer at Prodigy. Follow Pan at Pandora Box. We'll meet you today, Pam. Follow the show at another MMA cafe and the reviewers. We're on Google Play, iTunes, Black Talk Radio. We're on Spotify, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Come on up. And there's so many fights this weekend. You got two Bellator cards on Friday, one on Saturday. You got the UFC from Copenhagen and the big Spencer freaking car for fighting. Spencer versus, I forgot the other guy. The boxing match on Saturday. If you want to buy that pay-per-view, if you care about boxing, it's so much fucking combat sports that you can freaking bait on it all day. With the religion, guys. Can you get next week? Enjoy the fight. We'll be back off next week.
That's right.
Proteus, and just like that,
we're down.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.